The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Good evening and welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. This is season 41, episode 293. I've been documenting them, Kingy. And always nice to be on the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast after the Pussies go 2-0, Kingy.
Very impressive.
They were very good.
I didn't think after Atkins and Duncan, well, I think we're all very much of the Adelaide by 4+ goals on Friday night.
Yeah.
And the Cats got the job done.
They did.
Brandon Parfitt played very well as a late inclusion.
It was what you classify as a pleasant surprise, Kingy.
Yes.
I mean, I thought they'd go okay. I didn't think they'd get their pants pulled down, but I didn't think that they'd be winning that game. And they, what made it even more more merit to it, Kingy, was that...
Were you trying to say meritorious there, Ben, and just couldn't get it out?
No, I was. I'm not sure what meritorious was. Is that the sort of correct expression?
Yeah.
Is that the vernac?
Yes.
Yes, right. Well, what made it even more meritorious, Kingy, thanks very much for that, is that... They led and then were headed, and all the momentum was against them in the third quarter, and then they were somehow able to steady him. It was just like in the space of about 9 minutes, they were back to a 4-goal lead, and then from there, really, you know, you were sort of waiting for Adelaide to come, and it just didn't happen.
Guess who steadied them?
Who steadied them? The 26.
74-year-old.
Yeah, playing his 9,000,000th game. He kicked his 8,000th goal at Adelaide Oval, and he was very good, wasn't he? 3 in that third term.
And the one on the left.
Yeah, that snap. Yeah, he has his limitations, as every player does, and if you think he's going to run chase blokes, he's got no interest in that. No. And what's absolutely crucial to Tom Hawkins, absolutely crucial, and he is reliant on, well, every player in the team is reliant on other players, but if you just kick it to his advantage, to some advantage, he will be very difficult to beat. If you don't kick it to his advantage and it's a poor kick and he's got to run and he's in a bit of trouble, yeah. That's not his go. But if you can find a way to kick it to his advantage, and we saw on the lead when he got the one from Myers, you know, he's just got the footy smarts. He set that play up with old Siggy Butt Brain, and he just pushed him off the ball.
Who?
Butts.
Siggy Butt.
Have you ever had Siggy Butt Brain?
No.
Haven't you?
No.
YouTube Siggy Butt Brain.
Right.
It's very amusing.
Yeah, okay.
Very amusing. Just set him up and then led to the space and took the mark. And then the next one we got over the back and he just read the flight of the ball. You just got to give him an opportunity, and that's to his advantage. It doesn't necessarily be sat on his head all the time. And, yeah, look, he's just been a marvel. 350 games this weekend. That is, to use the vernacular, Kingy, extraordinary.
So he's only the third key forward, and you could argue that Bernie Quinlan finished as a key forward but didn't start as one. So Ruck roved first half of his career and then probably became more of a forward at Fitzroy.
Yep.
Buddy Franklin's the other one that's played 350.
Could roost the old Thomas William Sharon,
which you
Bernie,
do, which you do mention. If somebody needs to kick it long, does he have Bernie Quinlan on the family tree?
Yeah.
For a bloke that's 198 and 105...
He's been unbelievably durable.
Unbelievably durable, but to get to 350 in this era too, in an era where, for a while there, we thought the power forward was shot.
Can you remember when he was the whipping boy, though? Yeah. Cat fans wanted him gone.
08, 09.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was extraordinary. They wanted Jimmy Bartel gone too at one point.
One half of football changed everything.
Jaff was acting in the granny.
2011.
Yeah. Well, that'll do that for you, won't it?
Interesting. If Podsy Adley doesn't get hurt, Hawk doesn't probably...
Do you think there's some sliding doors
there?
Because they were 18 points down when Podsy Adley limped off, holding his wing.
Yeah.
And then they never looked back. Nah. They ended up winning that game. Was it 38 points?
Yeah, 37, I think.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I'm pretty sure Tom Hawkins still would have found his way regardless, but he's just one that took a little bit of time. He'd be still playing now at his age and in the form that he's in. He's a modern-day marvel.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Because he was father's son, he was pick 40. The consensus was in that draft...
He'd be pick top three.
Yeah, maybe even number one in that draft. If he had been a number one pick, would he have been given the leeway that a pick... You know, pick 40 doesn't get the leeway, but the microscope shone less because he slid to pick 40.
No.
If he was pick one, the microscope would have been greater.
No, I reckon he would have just been given the same at the Cats. They would have seen what he could do.
But I'm probably more talking externally. I know he still copped it a bit, but he would have copped it more if he'd been the number one pick.
Well, possibly. Yeah, possibly, because we love to do that. We love to cut people down and tall poppy sort of arrangement. We love that. That's just in our veins, Kingy, here in Australia. But I agree. He would have had, the spotlight would have been slightly more intense. Would it have been more intense from internally? I would have said no. They would have seen what he's able to do at training and in various stages. He just took some time to put it together on the field. And those dimensions, that's going to happen. You're not too many are going to come in at 198 and 4,000 kilos and suddenly just start dominating. He took some time. But the thing is, was his first game he kicked three?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you see snippets of players. This is my point, the whole thing. You can see snippets of players and you think, yeah, okay, that looks great. Like Jai Clark, okay, different player, I get that. But we saw snippets last year in the one game he played. There was a couple of passages of play where you thought, hang on, that kid's got it. I remember Corey Enright, talk about this all the time. Corey Enright's first possession in AFL footy, he got the ball, drew a man, and then handballed at the last minute to kick a goal against St Kilda at Etihad Stadium. It was like, he just got it. And it took him four years, I reckon, 4 or 5 years to find his feet at senior footy level. But you just see the snippets. When you're seeing the same snippets of poor play all the time, and I reference this player all the time, but Jordan Murdoch was a player, he'd make the same mistake in his 60th game as he made in his first game. He didn't improve. So then I think you're fair enough to say, I'm not sure this guy's up to it. He wasn't. He went to Gold Coast, couldn't get a game there, and he's out the door. Mm-hmm. But you see little bits and pieces of players and you think, yep, it just needs that time to evolve. And thank God, Kingy, that Geelong gave, because otherwise he would have gone somewhere else and be doing this sort of cabbage now.
So he kicked three in his first, four in his second against Melbourne, went goalless in his next two, and they were those horrible losses to Hawthorn in Launceston and then the line in the sand game against the Kangaroos down here where Chappie obviously let loose after the game.
That's right.
And they never looked back.
Yes, that sort of set them on the path, that did.
He kicked four. Remember that absolute touch-up of Richmond the following week at Marvel?
We were there that day. I remember that. That was extraordinary. What did they kick, like 35 goals or something?
And he's kicked four of them.
There was like a clinic.
Mm. So he had 11 goals in his first five games.
Yeah.
Seven in his first two.
And the package took a long time to get to your door. But once it got to your door, Kingy, it was like, with something just bursting out of it. Scantily clad, perhaps.
The other thing about Tom Hawkins is just how good a bloke he is.
Yeah.
And look, and it's easy for us to stand here and say he is, and, we're not going to bag him, but he's legitimately a good human being.
Yeah.
Whenever we've spoken to him, he's very thoughtful, he's expansive with his answers. Like the club, a couple of times, said, oh, you interviewed Tom Hawkins, went too long. And I said, no, his answers go too long.
Yeah, yeah. Because talk to Tom.
Because he is actually...
He's engaged.
He's engaged.
Well, he tries to give you something and he understands how the world works. Even last week, Kingy, when I, reprised my role as a boundary rider and went into the rooms down there.
Down in Adelaide.
Yeah, I went into the rooms. Mind you, it took me about 3 days to get into the rooms. I needed some sort of assistance.
Did you need sort of some sort of Fort Knox security
getting
clearance?
From the box to the rooms and then allowing people, showing your pass and then them thinking you're actually allowed to be there.
Yeah.
It took some work. Anyway, I got there.
You did well.
I did. But so we had Brandon Parfitt on after the game, but standing next to me was Tom Hawkins talking to the ABC. Hmm. And the young girl doing the interview, Tom came out and she said, hi, I'm, and I couldn't hear what she said, but he said, oh, hi, I'm Tom, as if, she didn't quite know who he was. But that's just him. That's just him being, he doesn't want to assume anything. He said, hi, I'm Tom. He shook her hand. And then they had a little chat. There's that awkward bit where you're not on air and you've got to sort of like chew the fat.
Yeah. And, bit of water cooler talk.
Yes, a little bit of sort of perhaps a bit of water cooler talk. And he was very good at it with her. And I think she appreciated it because she might have been a bit Bruce Nankervis with the big fella standing next to her. But he was lovely to her. And that's just him. That's just his personality.
Can I tell you this? Talking about people introducing themselves and you go, yeah, I think I know who you are. Adelaide Airport, Saturday morning when we're leaving.
I wouldn't have known who he was.
So Alex wouldn't Carey, clue, this Australian wicketkeeper, I went through with him at clearance. He was, you know, go to Melbourne, I think. Anyway, went through.
He was coming to the Grand Prix.
Yeah, was he coming over there?
To the Grand Prix.
Right. And then Nealty was there as well. And anyway, he got talking to Nealty. Nealty introduced himself, said, oh, thanks for doing those videos for South Barwon last year. So when the Aussies, I think, were in India, and it was South Barwon in the Geelong League Grand Final, Andre Borovic from South Barwon, Australian cricket coaching staff, got a cup. Had a butt jumper, put it on a couple of boys. They did a good luck message and that. So Nealty just said, thanks. I said to Alex, I said, oh, how do you know Nealty? And he said, he goes, oh, I don't. I've just met him, but I did the videos for South Barwon. I said, oh, that's pretty cool. And he said, oh, were you over here doing the radio last night? And I said, yeah. He goes, oh, what's the station Geelong again? I said, K-Rock and that. And he said,
can we get you on?
No, I didn't ask. And he goes, oh, I'm Alex. Okay, yeah, I'm Kingy.
Right.
But not,
he said, what number do you bat?
12. Good bloke. Good.
Did you recount any stories from the 6th at Sir Joey's?
No, they got beaten on the weekend.
Oh, did they?
They did.
Oh, yeah,
they went in probably...
confident.
$1.40 favourites.
And got rolled.
And got rolled. Well,
$1.40 favourites can get rolled.
Yeah, and they did.
Wow.
Yeah, especially in a two-horse race.
Yes.
Yeah, they got done. So, unfortunately, disappointment for those boys. The Cats need to frank what they've done in the first 2 weeks. They can't show up on Monday and let that one slip. There's an opportunity here to, especially with clubs like, you know, Brisbane and Collingwood, one of those teams is either going to be 0-4 or 0-3 tonight. If you can get a three-game jump.
1-3.
No, Brisbane are 0-2.
Oh, right. Yep. Oh, they've only played twice.
Yep.
Sorry, they had a bye out. They had a bye in the second week of the season.
And Collingwood.
What?
And Collingwood are 0-3. One of those teams will be... have three losses already on the board. If you can get to 3-0, you actually put yourself, you know...
Put a gap in them.
Yeah, basically.
Well, you are, King, and it's a bit of a danger game for the Cats.
The Hawks midfield seems to have troubled Geelong in recent... like last year at halftime, I know the Cats blew them away after halftime, but Easter Monday has gone back and forth for the last few years. It hasn't been just a Geelong
knock-up and get the four. Last year there was those... horror games against teams Geelong should beat and they couldn't. I watched half of the Hawthorn game last night just to brush up on a few of the players because I was slightly unfamiliar with some of them. But anyway, they were quite poor, but they were able to restrict Melbourne. Melbourne only kicked 6 goals. They kicked five in the first quarter, I reckon. Might have been 6. 5 in the first quarter, they only kicked 1. Now, mind you, Hawthorn weren't scoring, but they were having plenty of opportunities. They're just their mistakes, but their endeavour was good. They were winning plenty of the pill. It wasn't like they were just being pantsed in general play. They just struggled with a bit of system in terms of kicking goals. Mm-hmm. But they weren't absolutely horrible, despite what the scoreline might say.
Yeah, so the final margin was 55. It was over at quarter time. The margin was 32 points.
But they restricted them in the second quarter.
Yeah, just to 1 goal. And they
So they're missing a couple of key players. So
Will Day.
Will Day's out and Giath.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's out.
Yep.
So he's a crucial player for them. Granger Barris, the defender. Yep. They're short. They're light on in defence. This is the game, Kingy. This is the game where you obviously always you bet responsibly. Yeah. Bet responsibly. But Jeremy Cameron to be the leading goal kicker on the day. Right. Just mark that one in, Kingy. Mark it in. He's going to have a field day, and we need him too, Kingy. We need because he's been a bit quiet, hasn't he, Jezza?
Yeah, he only kicked 3 goals for the year.
Yeah, he's been, and we shouldn't just measure it on goals. I'm sure there's other parameters, and the club loves.
He's spending a little bit more time up the grease.
No, he just does it himself.
Yeah, I know, but he's won
when
a bit more
bored.
But he's won a bit more footy up there.
Well, he has won a fair bit at half back. We don't really want him winning at half back unless it's a sort of a game saving mark with 30 seconds to go. We want him up forward, and I reckon he's due to produce
4 goals, 5 he's kicked.
Because there's not much.
So the radar's been off a little bit too.
Yeah, the old radar. Do you reckon it needs to come back online? Mm.
No Dangerfield for the next fortnight. Might even be 3, I reckon.
Does Tanner Bruin come back?
We think so, yeah.
We think so. We thought he was played last week.
Yeah,
he didn't.
Yeah. Well, the coach.
It said test.
Yep.
What about, so we get Mitch Duncan back?
And Atkins.
What happened with Mitch Duncan? Did he have a what?
Yeah, they've had a boy named Parker.
Parker Duncan?
Yep.
Need a Gary or something.
Kevin.
Or a Shane.
A Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne.
We haven't had a Warren. We haven't had a Warren play.
Or the other one is we don't get anymore is Greg.
No, not a lot of Gregs.
Not a lot. There's 0.
No.
There's 0. You'd be running out of town if you had the... They don't put the notices in the paper anymore, but if they did and you posted Greg, we've had a wonderful, healthy young bub called Greg. I think someone should just extract the urine. But anyway, congratulations to Mitch. Do you think he's purchased a TV since the birth of the 4th?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, I would.
Anyway, we'll move on.
Yes.
How'd you rate Reece Stanley's performance?
Do you want me to be brutally honest? I thought he was marginally better than he was against St Kilda, which wouldn't have been difficult.
Serviceable was.
You had to run out of the ground to be better than he was against St Kilda. He was okay. He was well beaten by Riley O'Brien, who's a good player, very good player. And he did. He offered a little bit, not much. I watched a bit of the game, King, and he's lost confidence with his marking. If he used to be good at anything, he was quite a good mark, a real good one grab mark. Mm. Oh, there's a couple of times there where he just absolutely cocked it up. There's one in defence where he just looked so awkward. And that happened against St Kilda as well, when he looked awkward in that marking contest. The ball got out the back and the Saints got a goal. But he seems to be down on confidence. This week he shapes up against Ned Reeves, who's an absolute giant. He stood over Max Gawn, if you don't mind, last week. He's a developing ruckman, but he's physical. He's tall. And he's going to be a very good player, Ned Reeves. He just needs to get some games into him. But he's going to have his work cut out again this week, Reece Stanley. If anything, it's an opportunity for him maybe to get involved a little bit more around the ground, which he probably needs to do to get his confidence up. But, Cats ruck stocks are thin, Kingy, to say the least. The number of ruckmen who change clubs, I know we've spoken about it a little bit, but, I mean, Ivan Soldo went to Port Adelaide.
Remember when Bucky called him the grand final in 2019?
And he said it's Ivan.
He corrected him very quickly.
He went to Port Adelaide. Would you look in the race for any of these blokes or not?
Oh, I'm not sure Soldo was on the market.
Well, I mean, I know he's no superstar, but he's getting a game for Port, who are going to be top four, I reckon. So, anyway, there's just a number of ruckmen who have switched clubs, and Geelong seemed to be the beneficiary of none of them. Now, I wonder, you'd love to know what sort of talks went on, whether they had any interest, whether the players just said, look, I don't want to come play for Geelong. I don't know, but it's going
to... Would they want to come to Geelong knowing Stanley and Conway are there?
Well, you come in but thinking, as I've said this before, Todd Goldstein is a three-rung upgrade on Reece Stanley, straight away. Todd Goldstein to come to the Cats, play finals, not have Sam Draper bearing down his neck. I don't understand it, but Geelong have had a crack at Goldstein before, didn't get him. Surely for 1 year on the minimum chips, I don't understand. Anyway, look, who knows? They mightn't have even tried. Maybe their phone went dead that day.
Andrew Mackey's joining us.
Maybe they lost. He's not going to tell us.
Ask the question.
Yeah, God. He won't. He'll give us absolute donuts. He'll just give us the political law. We explored all the avenues and, you know, we did the sums and, all that sort of cabbage. But I just find it difficult to believe that the Cats think that they're a premiership team and they've gone in with Reece Stanley and Loch Ness Conway. That's it. When they have their ruck meeting, they're the only two blokes in it.
Shannon Neal and Blitzarfs.
Well, Shannon Neal's a forward. He's not a ruck.
He's going to spend some time probably having to play in the ruck.
Play him. Get Stanley out and play him.
Would you play Conway based off 17 disposals, 4 marks, 37 hitouts and 6 clearances last week in the VFL?
Was that against Port Arlington? Who were they playing?
Werribee.
Or where I be.
Yep.
Yeah, who's he against there? His brother.
He's playing against his brother. Yeah, he lost to him.
Well, Kingy, ironically, he might be a good match for Reeves, because Reeves is more advanced than him in terms of games and years, but he's a similar type sort of dinosaur. He's enormous, Reeves. He's
207?
No, I reckon he's taller than that.
Is he?
He was taller than Max Gawn, I'm sure. They showed them stand together and he had him covered. He's tall. It might be an opportunity, Kingy. Might be an opportunity to put in Conway against a what you would classify as perhaps a slightly less mobile ruckman, more of a ruck exponent in the true sense. So that might be a really good matchup.
208, Reeves. Sorry, I was a centimetre out.
And what's Conway? 206.
Yeah, I think he's 206, yeah. And still growing.
The thing about that, King, as I said before, maybe the Cats think this is an opportunity for Stanley to get involved in general play a little bit more and use his athleticism. Now, Conway probably has good athleticism for his size, but his athleticism isn't in the Stanley realms. He's more of your true ruckman, who can actually help you win the clearances and do the business in the ruck. Stanley just, he might as well not go up in the ruck and just try and get a kick around the ground.
Don't be surprised if Mitch Hardy might find his way into the squad this week. 29 disposals, 7 tackles, 7 clearances last week.
Yeah, well, that's good. Another midfielder.
Yep.
I mean, if Bruin, Duncan and
Atkins
come back, you probably find it difficult. I would have thought, but it's good that they've got hopefully players nipping at their heels.
Yep.
He's a true midfielder, isn't he?
He is. Yep. Yep. You happy to answer some questions, Benny?
Oh, Kingy, I'm always happy to do anything.
All right.
Just anything, really.
Off Facebook.
Just living.
Grant Bench, super show. Great to have the footy back. Such an impressive win by the boys. Very proud. Wondering what you thought of Brandon Parfitt. I thought he did well, so does he stay in the team?
Well, I'd love for him to stay in the team.
We're Brandon Parfitt fans here. Yeah, we're the first to put our hands up and say, we are. Well, that's why we got him on after the game, because it was actually a good story when he said, you probably didn't hear it because you were...
I was there, Kingy. I was next to him.
Did you hear him say...
No, I didn't. I couldn't really hear what he was saying.
Because he said, when did you find out you were coming over? And he goes, I was making dinner on Thursday night and told to get on a plane.
What was he cooking?
I didn't ask that.
Was he whipping something up?
Yeah, probably a pasta of some description, you would have thought. And yeah, told get to the airport, get on a plane.
Was he making a souffle?
Probably not. Anyway, we're talking about Brandon Parfitt, and this is not Gordon Ramsay right here.
No. Well, I thought he played really well. I'd love for him to get a game again. It's just, I suppose, what they think the mix is. No, Dangerfield probably helps his cause, but I mentioned those three players previously coming back in. If Tanner Bruin doesn't come back in, which there seems to be, I don't know, I'm not hearing that it's a certainty for that to happen, then he could remain in the side, which I think would be great, because I thought he was good against Adelaide. I mean, he didn't star, but he certainly played a role. Would have been good for his confidence. The fact he was happy to speak after the game speaks to that. And, I really like Brandon Parfitt. I think he's got something. We don't know why, but it's gone a bit pear-shaped. But let's hope he can, get back on track. And getting another game under his belt next week against Hawthorn, which is a little bit down in the midfield as well, would be ideal.
Off the KFC X. Did you mention we're here for Kurz Hire, Benny?
Yeah.
You're good.
A few times, why? Yeah.
No, just as
Jason.
Just Jared.
Jared, that's right.
Yep, thank you.
Kevin.
From Premieres. Now, he sent this with the gif for the old Justin Timberlake gif that you've probably seen, where he looks at the, what were you thinking when you said that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you still think the Cats will miss the top eight? Where did you... I had them finishing 10th.
No, I said 7th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Win on Monday.
It's only two games.
Yeah, win on Monday and...
Win on Monday and you're declaring them after three games.
That they'll play finals.
Yeah.
No, but it helps. They lose on Monday, then you put yourself back in the pack. I'm happy for them to make it. Well and truly happy to be proven wrong. I'm just not sure that they'll be there when the whips are cracking.
Do you like to be there when the whips are cracking?
The Hoops crew, has Tom Stewart overtaken Boris Enright?
Oh, yeah, I actually read that. The fact that you actually stop and think gives you an idea how good Tom Stewart is.
Come back to me in 50 games.
Yeah, I'd say...
At 200.
I'd say he's trending to be that. Right now, you would have to sway with the bloke who played the more games. Corian was a very good mark. Stewart's a better high mark. Hmm. But rest of their games... And Stewart's got a lot more speed than Corey Enright.
Enright was a bit more endurance.
Yeah, he was just a freak, Enright. He was fantastic. I'd say you'd give the nod right now to have to give the nod to Corey Enright, but if this trend continues with Tom Stewart over the course of the next two or three seasons, when they go to the Waikiki, they're going to need some sort of... They're going to need the develop print. Yeah, apps, 100% they will.
Adrian Mancini, great win versus Crows. I thought the way we defended was great, back to 2022 style. Good time is this week for Conway. Good time is any for this week.
I'll mention that. Yeah, I think they'll certainly discuss it. What does it do for Reece Stanley's confidence if you drop him out? Because his whole game is built on confidence, and when he hasn't got any, he's absolutely abysmal. So... do you drop him out at the risk of... I mean, they'll say he's injured. He'll know he's not. And then you've just dropped him out. What does that do? I don't know. There's a permutations and computations, Kingy, with that decision. But I reckon it'll be certainly one that they will 100% discuss.
Also, I thought Close, Myers and Stengel were great in their roles. Yep. Stewart and Hawkins are peerless. Tyson Stengel still hasn't found that spark of 22 yet.
Not quite. He was okay, though. He was okay. Close has been good. Myers has been very good.
Well, the fact that Myers, not that Myers' game is hitting a scoreboard anymore, it's about setting them up. But to kick three last week
was great.
Yeah,
he's good. Yeah, Stengel was better than he was against the Saints. He contributed, which is what you want. Let's hope he can find another gear against the Hawks.
Another question, Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
With Danger ruled out for 3 weeks, how do you think our centre clearance work will go with Clark, Tanner, Atkins and co?
Our clearance work?
Yeah.
Well, it depends who's ruck. I don't know. Clearances are a raffle, aren't they? Sometimes. I mean, when they bounce the ball in the middle and it goes skew-if, I don't know where how you train for that. You can't. It's impossible.
Can we find a stat for when Blitzarves has done the ruck work, what the clearance numbers
are? You would be able to find that, King, if you went into the bowels of champion data. Okay.
Can you have a look between now and
Well,
East
I can't look on mine.
Can't you?
No. I can only look on in terms of hit-outs to advantage.
Yep.
And last week it was, I don't know what it was at the end of the game.
Yep.
But I reckon at half time it was the hit outs were like 9 to advantage to Riley O'Brien, 2 to Blitzarves, and 1 to Stanley. Okay. They can't break it down in terms of Geelong's clearances.
Yeah, right.
You could if you had the.
The whiz bang.
If you knew someone, right. If you knew people. But if you don't, you just have to look at the hit outs to advantage and then the clearances. But yeah, I agree, Blitzarves, which is probably an indictment on Reece Stanley, that your backup sort of part-time ruckman is better than you.
David Bennett, hey fellas, has the club given any further clarity on Guthrie? I can see a scenario where they'll hold Danger back for a few weeks and likely bring him alongside Guthrie. Does that create a big hole in our midfield? You're looking still at about 4 to 6 for Cam Guthrie
because
It was 10 weeks at the start.
Let's hope it's 4,
did it 5.
Not 6.
Yeah, I think it'll be closer to 6, Benny.
Why is that? He was doing some running at the open day before the season, because someone was there and said to me, Cam Guthrie did a bit.
Yep.
So he must, I mean, that was, what's that, 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Teddy G, hey Benny, that was a solid game from Mark O'Connor.
Yeah, well it was. He played pretty well, credit where credit's due. He was solid, probably the good word. Yeah, I thought he was good. I don't dislike Mark O'Connor. I just don't know where he plays. Okay, I'll ask you these questions, King. You give me a yes or no answer. Yeah. Do you think Mark O'Connor has a set position?
No.
Is Mark O'Connor an in-between height?
Yes.
Is Mark O'Connor average with his skills?
No, I think he's above average.
Could Mark O'Connor play permanently in the midfield?
No.
There you go.
Mitch Hardy to play. Parfitt to stay in. This is from Duke.
Parfitt in.
Oh, it's Parfitt to stay in. Yeah.
Well, we mentioned that. Let's hope so.
Yeah, Mitch Hardy to play.
Well, I don't know enough about the old James Hardy.
Yep.
The James Hardy 1000. Is that what they call him?
The Hardy Ferodo.
Yes. But let's put it this way. I wouldn't like to see Parfitt go out for Hardy.
No.
I mean, if you're giving the...
No, that's not happening.
If you're giving the kid... He's not a kid, though, is he?
No, he's 24.
40. He's 40.
Yeah.
Just had his 40th last week.
Nuffy from Cario, Benny seems so up and about and confident on the podcast. Why, when he's on the big screen at K-Park, is he stiffer than a board? Is it nerves?
No, I'm not. Because I'm usually pinching someone. Well, last week, a couple of people picked up that I did do the old two fingers.
Rabbit ears on me.
Over your... No, not on your head, just on your shoulder.
Right.
And what about the... Oh, I'm actually not nervous at all. I don't get nervous much, but I'm not stiff. It's just more... What about the first week when I went for about 18 minutes and I got told off?
You rabbited off.
Because there was a guy there with a phone with the timer on it, and I wasn't looking at it, and it expired, and I was still delivering like a sermon from the mount. It was extraordinary.
Use your homily.
Yes, it was.
Right.
I was just sort of doing loaves and fishes arrangement.
From Big Footy. Hey, gents, does our VFL team playing with 13 AFL-listed players and managing to lose by 50 points to a team with 0 AFL-listed players a concern? You've got to look at who the AFL-listed players are. Bewes was the most experienced of that lot, and everybody else on that list had played less games combined at AFL level than Bewes in his total career.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get games like that where you have a very, very young AFL list,
yep,
that you'll come up against men who have been either in the AFL system and playing VFL or been in the VFL system for a while and have, mid-20s and older.
Yep.
It's going to happen sometimes. And
I agree.
Yeah, don't lose. Yeah, don't lose. There's no convincing.
That's why the scores are irrelevant for the AFL teams. The scores are only relevant to the standalone VFL teams in the VFL.
So you look at, so Conway, one game, Mitch Nevitt, less than 10, Connor O'Sullivan, none, Lawson Humphreys, none, Phoenix Foster, none, James Willis, none, Ollie Wiltshire, none, Bewes, 160-odd, Murdoch, none, Shannon Neal, less than 10, Ted Closey, one, Mitch Hardy, none, Emerson Jecker, I think only played a handful of games at Hawthorn.
Great name.
Yeah, Emerson Checker. And then obviously Braden Ham played some footy at Essendon.
Sounds like a hard, sounds like a tool, doesn't it? Have you got your Emerson Checker? Yeah.
So, yeah, when you look at that, you've got, what, I think there was 7 or 8 of that court, 13, haven't played league footy yet and are still...
It's a very inexperienced and young VFL team. Yeah. And as I said, the scores are almost irrelevant. Not unfortunately, that's just the reality. Mm. They're irrelevant for the AFL teams. It's about developing players, developing them in their system, getting them to play the way that the AFL team wants to play, which is probably, it's probably more difficult, Kingy, to do that because you don't have the class. A lot of the AFL setups, they're predicated on the fact that there's a skill level in the team to do it. So if the VFL are trying to play that same sort of style, it can be quite difficult because you don't have the same skill level. So I know there are some, and the example of this is a player like, let's say, Geelong, like a Graham Myers, who probably could, right now he'd probably go back to the VFL and go well, but initially he was running like a zillion kilometres and hardly touching the football. Yeah. Because his game is predicated on guys getting it to him. He can get there. Yep. He's got the tank to get there, but they've got to get it to him. In the VFL, the ball would never get to him because, A, there wasn't the skill, there was a breakdown, whatever it was. But there's some players who are reliant on that, and it's just they don't have the same setup in the VFL. So I wouldn't be even worrying about the scores. You're more worried about who's played well individually, and you have to be at the games to see that because they're not going to – I don't think you're going to get... You will get the odd player who will do a Peter Featherby and get it 50 times, but sometimes they're not the best. You know, it's the younger kid who might have a good quarter or might have a good 10 minutes or he might, and you see something for the future. They're unable to sustain it across the four quarters. So you have to be at the game. If you're just looking at scores and who kicked the goals and you get a bit disappointed, I'm not sure they're good barometers to measure the VFL.
Ledger Cat, gutsy win by the Kittens. It looks like we've unearthed another couple of forwards in Dempsey and Manor. How do they fit into a list with full availability? Does Manor or Myers go into the midfield? Could a fit Gary Rowan's pace translate to burst through the middle?
No. That's the answer to that one. Gary Rowan doesn't have the engine to play in the middle. His game is purely built on explosiveness, and he just doesn't have a tank to play anywhere other than where he plays. Manor's the one that... you probably could push into the midfield. He's probably done it a bit at Werribee. And he's got the body shape, size and strength to play in the midfield. I would hate to see Graham Myers playing in the midfield. He's just not built to play in the midfield. He's very good at what he does. Leave him where he plays. Don't put him in the midfield. I'd be throwing Manor to the Wolves in the midfield before Graham Myers. And Rowan just doesn't have the tank to do that.
Ultimate Warrior, Kingy, where will the tattoo be going? I don't know what he's talking about.
The tattoo of...
Well, we're just waiting for you to put yours of Chris Scott on your backside.
Well, I'm going to get another tattoo, Kingy.
Of?
And I'm going to show you exactly what it might be. But this won't be great for the podcast, but you no doubt will be able to allow people to... perhaps pass on what the tattoo is going to be.
Right.
I just have to get this up, Kingy, because if you could...
If I could talk, I'll go on to Cat to the Future. Cat to the Future, his questions were... Oh, Benny. Never
can you describe that to our listeners, Kingy?
No, I can't. Never grow up, Benny.
It's a lovely view, isn't it?
Hi, guys. Great win against the Crows last week. Question one, if coaches could get votes alongside players for best on, where would you rate Matthew Nicks' performance? Ben, put your phone away. I would personally give Nicks 4 votes behind Stewart with 5. I don't know. Are they poking fun at Matthew Nicks?
No, they're poking fun because Matthew Nicks did nothing about Tom Stewart.
No, that's what I was saying. I was about to say they're poking fun that he
dominating the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I think Adelaide's midfield is an issue for them at the moment. They're very one-paced. Crouch and Laird are both accumulators. They're not impact players as such. They're good if they've got the impact player next to them because they can feed them the ball. But if they don't have that player, then they get a lot of the ball. Like Laird had it 29 times, I think, and I think Crouch had it 37 times. They're just not damaging. I'm trying to think who the third midfielder was in there. I mean, they used Dawson. Yep. Now, Dawson's a good player, doesn't have any breakaway sort of speed. They need speed in the midfield. That's wonder why Rochelle and Rankin. The thing is, do those guys have the tank? We just think that players out there can all go and play in the midfield. It doesn't work like
Ben
that.
Ben Keyes was spending some time
in
the midfield.
Yeah, but he's dour as well, slightly dour. They need a midfielder with some sizzle, Kingy, and they don't have it at the moment. And their defence is a little bit thin. Butts is a developing player, but he's still a developing player. And they don't really have a second. They're inexperienced. Michael Annie, they had Keane
in
there.
He's a good player, Michael Annie.
Yeah, he is. But he's still, wouldn't have played 40 games?
No, he's second season.
Yeah, well, there you go. Make
25.
Yeah. They're young, and their midfield, I think, is thin. And Walker's going to leave, retire soon. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. They've just re-signed old Nixie.
For the next couple.
And, we'll see what happens. But they've got I wouldn't be sort of throwing the baby out with the bathwater yet, but they've got sort of what you would classify as sort of Lindsay Lohan type sort of troubles. Not your, Did you know that Kanye West, right?
Mm.
Do you ever say to the lovely when she sort of trundles out the door or she comes down the stairs? You got stairs?
Got stairs.
Oh, yeah. When she comes down the stairs and, she's maybe sort of purchased something and then she's popped it on, do you ever offer any advice?
No.
Do you ever go, hang on, what's happened there? No. Or do you say that really?
That brings out your eyes?
Yeah.
No.
That clashes with your hair?
No.
Right.
No.
Because Kanye West, because his girlfriend, is it, or his partner, whatever, she's from Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah. And he makes her wear things, not much, less things than she had.
Daz Broncos, I've been a big Busey fan, even the Out of Bounds, Out on the Full Talk, every game. It's Busey bingo and you can drink every time it happens, but I'm a bit bemused by the is Busey done talk. Was he not injured and had off-season surgery? Isn't he a bit slower getting back to full speed? I'd still have him as our best pure small defender for taking on the likes of Cameron, Papley, etc.
Yeah, I tend to agree. He'd need to sort of be hasty, though, with his comeback. Like, he can't allow that to linger on. I mean, he had a pretty good pre-season, didn't he, Gingy?
Early.
He had a full pre-season, pretty much. Yep. Yeah, and he's not in the team. That's always alarm bells when you're his age. And while the team continues to win and other players are playing that role, Jack Henry back now, pushes him down a rung. They seem to be preferring Mark O'Connor as that player at the moment. I agree Busey will get his chance, but when he gets his chance, he really needs to take it because right now, fair to say, and we're only surmising from the outside, but he's on the outer.
Yep, he's out of contract at the end of the year too. Am I off my base in my... I'll move on. I was going to say, am I off base in my thinking there was what Daz Bronco said. Hats off to Brandon Parfitt. Really just got in there and did it. The notes on Manor seems not to be out of place at this level, and Benny noted pre-season he'd want to hit the ground running, and so far he has mostly. We might have a good serviceable player there.
Yes, I agree. His strength is quite noticeable. Mm. He's not huge, not a big boy, but he seemed to have some strength in the contest. He threw a few players off on Friday night, and I like him. He's got a bit to work on, but he's only played two games. But I think there's something there.
Neil Watch, nothing to report from the VFL other than deplorable 450 entries and a lacklustre game from the 33 looking to rebound this week. Home again Saturday, the VFL. It's a doubleheader. VFL men at about 11 and the VFL women at
the
about
Easter
2 o'clock.
Weekend, Kingy.
Easter weekend, yeah.
What's the Easter bunny going to do for you?
Nah, not a lot. Loch Ness Conway getting better each week, but I reckon would still struggle to make a full AFL game at the moment.
Well, I can't comment because I haven't seen him play. You mentioned his stats before. Look, you're just going to have to be patient with the old Loch Ness. Maybe just the tyres sort of in the distance. But, clearly there's something to work with there. But he is very much a work in progress and we're only at the early stages of that progress. So no doubt if he continues, I think they want to see him a good block of games in the VFL and then put him into he doesn't necessarily need to be starring. He just needs to get some continuity into his footy.
Disappointing thing is the VFL has a bye after this
week. They have byes all the time, don't they?
Well, this one's for the state game because they're playing one as part of Gather Round. So Howler 41, pretty good win considering no Guthrie, then had no Duncan, Bruin, Atkins, real team effort sort of stuff, keeping them to 11 goals from 66 inside 50s. Suggests we pressured their mids, defended well and hung tough when they had momentum.
Yes.
Parfitt 22 touches, 10 tackles, did all he can to keep his place. Dempsey, no goals, but two assists, kept himself in the game. Stanley was better, but still well beaten and needs to London Fog. I love it how when people start using your vernacular.
Yes, I agree with all that.
Loch Ness Conway, 37 hitouts and 17 possessions in the VFL. The Big Hawk found his hands in the third quarter and he's back. SDK, a couple of turnovers, but he's played 46 games, taking the ops biggest forward. He's going fine. Colo, solid again. Becoming a father is working for him.
Yes.
Spark spoke last week about starting well at Moron park, keep crowd of it, and we did just that. Tackling early was real Greco-Roman grappling.
It was just style. It was. You know, when you just get the trunks up sort of in the crack of the old dutta, and it just sort of creates a bit of an uncomfortable feeling for the opposition.
To be critical, I thought Nevitt could have been activated as a sub much earlier. Now to the Stinky Hawks on Monday.
I thought he was good, Nevitt.
Yeah. Didn't make a mistake.
He got a minute 12. It was extraordinary.
Now to the Stinky Hawks on Monday after Gary Senior does his thing on Easter Sunday. I'd love to see Conway come in against an inexperienced Hawks ruck.
Yeah, well, we spoke about all that. And who sent all that in? That was one of the most comprehensive raps of all time, Kingy. Who sent that?
That was Howl of 41.
Oh, Howl of 41. I agree with absolutely everything Howl of 41 has said there. That was all just on the money, all of it.
Gail the Snail, hey boys, regarding the hate you were copying last week, it's easy to have opinions after the fact or hang ship on people whose opinions or observations prove to be wrong. It takes some guts to put your opinions out there for the public to judge. Sometimes you'll be right, other times you'll be wrong, as long as you're doing it respectfully, which I think you guys were, play on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course we were. Yeah. We're talking about Mark O'Connor
probably,
and Tui.
Yeah, and Stanley. Yeah.
You've got to call it as it is, and no one's cheering for anybody to go poorly, but you can only, there's no point in just saying the world's, you know, flat when it's round.
Yep. Big Hawks 350th has come around very quickly. Absolute legend. How do you see life for the Cats after Hawkins? Hopefully Neil can come on quickly, but other than him, who have we got? Future looks bright for our small forwards. Ollie Henry's going to be a star. Yep. Maybe need to pick up another young big man in the next couple of years.
Well, I think in the shorter term, Kingy, the Cats are going to need... they're going to need another midfielder or another couple of midfielders. Obviously, Guthrie and Dangerfield are coming towards the end. Tommy Atkins is not young. He's not playing for another 5 years, I wouldn't have thought. So they're going to have to... The midfield's going to need to be shaped. Are we getting Bailey Smith? Is that talk still going?
It's quietened off a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's not re-signed with the Dogs.
No.
And they've offered him a contract, 2-year deal.
Yep.
And he's not signing it. So at the moment, I'm not saying he won't, but... I think there's something there, Kingy. I've just got, you know, got a feeling in my waters that Bailey Smith could be on the horizon. And the midfield that we need, I think we need another ruckman.
Yep.
We're going to need another ruckman. We're not just going to...
Well, Stanley's time in the game is limited. Like, he's 32.
Three, isn't he?
Thought he was...
Anyway, he's on the wrong side
32,
of 30.
33, yeah.
Yeah, he's out the door, isn't he, end of this year.
Oh, I think we've said that. Two or three times in the last 4 or 5 years.
I think it
years.
Probably depends where they finish. Yeah. But yeah, you would have. They need another ruckman and an experienced ruckman. That's why I'm disappointed they didn't get one this year. They need another key defender because you just can't have O'Sullivan and DeConey. They've got no one else. That's it.
Yep.
And O'Sullivan's...
you can't expect Jack Henry to play as a...
No, you need another key defender.
When he's 190.
And then you're going to need... Well, you've got Cameron and Neil. There's a lot of holes there. I'm not talking about now, but if you're projecting 2, 3, 4 years ahead, these are the areas where they're going to have to find players.
Yeah. Dave_Doncaster saw some criticism of you guys on the...
Dave from Doncaster.
On the Geelong Cats Facebook group. Listen to you guys every week. Keep up the good work. Because we basically got called a pair of nuffs. And he just said, listen to you guys every week. Keep up the good work.
Right. Well, that's nuffs. Right. Nuffs. Can you say that?
Don't know. Well, they did.
Huh?
What's the inside word about Mullen? How confident are the club that in a year or two that it'll all just click and he'll be a very good player? Looks like the club is going with him ahead of Buse when we want a small defender in the 22. Well, I think they're going with O'Connor in front of Buse at the moment. Wouldn't mind Mullen running freely around in the VFL and getting the pill a bunch more times, thus fast-tracking his offensive game. He'll be one that'll just be, you know, he's re-signed for next year. I reckon if he could get a dozen games this year,
I think that's a good call, though, if you could perhaps... broaden his role in the VFL and have him, you know, learn the offensive side of the game, which is what the Dave from Doncaster is what he said, which I think is probably a good idea because he needs to get involved. He's got great speed. He's very, very quick. We haven't seen a whole lot of it. The game sort of speed, he hasn't been able to use it. And defensively, I think the defensive part of the game probably comes naturally to him because that was the bit that's probably been taught first. Now it's about getting involved and using his speed to play offensively because I think you'd love to a player with his wheels. In time, you would love him to be a rebounding type defender, a little bit like a Zach Tui was 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But to do that, you have to polish up on the offensive side of the game. So I reckon that's a really good call. That he probably needs to develop that in the twos and then bring that to maybe a different position in the seniors, be it off halfback.
I think that's
what's
it,
happening.
Penny.
No, that's, was there like a pregnant pause?
I was
there?
Just checking something.
What were you checking?
I was just checking.
You're checking your shares.
So 2010 was the first year that we started playing Geelong Hawthorn on Easter Monday.
It's 14 year anniversary.
Yeah. But you've got Benny's quiz, $50 catch shop voucher.
Oh, how good was it last week?
It was good last week.
Old mate went around the world.
It did well. He did. The first question is going to be apart from 2020 when we lost Easter footy to COVID, what was the other year after 2010 that we didn't play Geelong and Hawthorn on Easter Monday?
Was that when the Woke Brigade banned Easter?
No. No, it wasn't. But there was a year, and there was a reason for it, that the now traditional Easter Monday game fell on the Tuesday.
Right.
What year was it? And that's the first question that'll be on Monday in Benny's quiz.
Okay.
I love how I write, it's your quiz, but I write, I'm sort of like...
I love the way that...
I'm like David Polterak writing the questions for Tony Barber. David Polterak was on Sale of the Century and then went into, actually, he was a champion and then went and became one of the writers of the questions for Sale of the Century.
Right.
So I'm sort of David Polterak to your Tony Barber.
David Polterak.
Yeah, you like that name?
Yeah, it's extraordinary. Now you sounds like a sort of a wingman.
Did you go to school with Andrew Werbick, who won Sale of the
Century? He won Sale of the Century.
Yeah, was he your...
I sat next to him in year 11. I had to sit next to him because I was getting in trouble and they thought by sitting me next to Andrew Werbick that would quiet me down a little bit. And me and Werbsy...
He won Sale of the Century.
Yeah, it's 16-year-old. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And he couldn't tell anyone. So we knew he was on.
Oh, he'd been filmed.
Because he'd come to school and he'd won the previous night.
He's rocked up in the BMW.
No, his mum dropped him off in there. I had a great ability, Kingy. I wasn't as smart as he was, right?
But obviously.
No, but my peripheral vision to actually see his answers to the question and then they'd appear on my sheet was quite extraordinary.
See you, mate.
Right, boy.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.